You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
And welcome in again. Time this week for MLB.com Extras, the Pittsburgh Pirates edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Tom Singer. And Tom, I don't want to say that there's been a panic or that we've all been waiting and with bated breath. I think everyone had faith that these Pirates would really get things figured out. They've been a little streaky, and once again, on a streak. They've won five in a row, and the bats have really come alive to complement that pitching. It seems like, you know, all the pieces maybe finally starting to coalesce a little bit here, and we're starting to see the real Pittsburgh Pirates of 2015.
Well, we've definitely seen that the past week. We shouldn't overlook the fact that, it's all come together against two of the more offensively challenged teams in the National League, the Mets and the Marlins. The Mets have that great pitching, which the Pirates certainly took advantage of. Their pitching's been the real eye-catcher the last week. And like I said, it's come against two of the weaker offensive teams in the league. But the beautiful part of that is, once you get your confidence, it doesn't matter who it comes against. Once you get that mojo going, you can keep it going. And they've got a tough West Coast trip coming up, definitely more challenging than this home slate that they've gone through. But once you get it going, once you get to start to feel good about yourself, you get the confidence, you can do it against the good teams too, as we'll see.
Well, you're definitely right about the pitching, and I think everybody really respects the fact that the Pirates are going to pitch you well. And to your point in this stretch, one run, two runs a game, all they're giving up. But the other side of that, though, is we're really seeing the offense, eight, nine runs a game, five runs a game. It seems like you're seeing that aspect of the team coming together a little bit, too.
Absolutely. And the nice part about that is there hasn't been a flukish performance. The guys that you expect to carry the load have started to do so. Andrew McCutchen, Josh Harrison has been on fire. So it's not an odd production that you may not expect to continue, but it's coming from the core players. And that's really the very encouraging part. There's no reason to believe that it's not going to keep going.
Yeah, they're continuing to figure out how to deploy all of their weapons. How are they balancing that? With each week, I'm sure we see little adjustments, but with Gong, it came in and he's just been hitting the heck out of the ball. You're able to move Harrison around a little bit. What's the ongoing plan there? In as much as they've figured that piece out.
Well, the interesting part, like you mentioned, Josh has made a starting left field couple in the right field. The interesting part is that, Gregory Polanco is kind of being phased out of that everyday situation because having Harrison play in the outfield opens up third base for, Gong. His natural position is shortstop, but I've got the feeling that the team is beginning to feel that third base may be more natural for him, very strong arm, very quick, not necessarily fast as far as range aspect. Playing short. So, we've seen him more at third base. And basically, like you said, they have a lot of moving parts, it's like a retro picture. Harrison's versatility really has become the key to the whole lineup, not as the third baseman, which he did such a solid job last season, but he is moving around a little bit more. I don't think they would mind if, Polanco came alive and they could go back to their dream outfield, but then they would raise another issue. How do you make room for Kong? As you said, he's hitting way over 300 and has definitely injected himself into a couple interesting pictures. Possible Rookie of the Year, which the Pirates, in their long history, they've only had one, Jason Bay. And I've heard him come up in some, all-star considerations, too.
Yeah, it is interesting. We're seeing more and more guys in that mold be not only successful, but also I just think that it adds such a really intriguing element to a team, a great competitive piece. Ben Zobrist, what he has been able to do over the last decade or so, as maybe one of the great super subs and versatile players. Brad Miller now has become that guy with the Seattle Mariners, and he has given them a huge lift. And I don't know. I don't know how to quantify it, Tom. I don't know if there's a way to really break it out, but it just seems that when you have a guy you can move around like Josh Harrison, who can be so productive, that it's almost like having a 10th player every day. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it just seems to be such a big piece to me.
It's not ridiculous at all, especially in the National League, where you get into late-game double-switch situations. Clint Hurdle has all kinds of chess pieces he can move around. Sean Rodriguez can play all over the field. Sean Rodriguez really is the second coming of Josh Harrison as far as where he can play well. And having that, having those options, Clint Hurdle, like most managers, earlier this season in spring training, he talked wistfully about having a regular eight that he can put out there every day, having a regular set lineup. But I don't think he minds this as a plan B, having the fluidity and the versatility to just move pieces around. And even the batting order, we saw Mercer batting eight for two, three straight games. And now when they play a left-hander, when they go up against a left-hander, he's batting second. So, it's not just having the maneuverability as far as what positions you play, but also the makeup of your batting order is very fluid. And I think, Hurdle has come to appreciate that over having a set, lineup.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. I feel like we've spent a lot of time, Tom, talking about guys like A.J. Burnett and what he's been able to do this year, which has just been so phenomenal. And that rotation is stout, top to bottom. They really get good production out of all those guys. But in the bullpen, it's always easy to look to a closer, and Melanson's done a fine job for him. Is there another name? Because there are some guys who are putting up some good numbers. Is there another name that jumps out at you as a guy who has just been really critical for them in that bullpen this year?
Well, it's not a new name, but Tony Watson's been just terrific in his eighth inning setup once again. He's had a couple burps early in the season, but who doesn't? But he's another scoreless streak, which I believe is up to 16 innings. And for one inning at a time guy, that's like 16 games. So he hasn't been scored upon in about a month. And the one guy we keep an eye on is, Archimedes Caminero. He's getting more high leverage situations, and he's coming through, with his 9,900-mile fastball. And I think, when Charlie Morton came off the DL, they DFA'd Rodham as Leeds, which in a sense was a sign of strength. Leeds wasn't doing a bad job. So the fact that they considered him expendable, they kind of hope to retain him, that somebody else doesn't pick him up on waivers. But the fact that you considered expendable somebody who was doing a pretty solid job is a very good sign of strength. And of course, Jared Hughes has been very solid as a seventh inning guy. Between Hughes and Caminero, you got a very solid bridge to the two end guys, Watson and then Melanson.
And that piece of it's been working awfully well for them. And you mentioned it earlier in this podcast, Tom. They've made hay on this homestand largely against teams they should be beating. But I do believe good teams do that. That's what it's kind of incumbent upon them to make sure they take advantage of those opportunities. But it does lead into quite a road trip. Four in San Diego, then they go to San Francisco, and then cross the country to get out to Atlanta. As we head to that kind of critical time of year, moving into June, looks like that looms as a pretty big road trip.
Yes, it is. And, Clint Hurdle has changed the culture a little bit, but historically the Pirates have had a very tough time in the West Coast. Last couple of years they've held their own against the Giants, wild card games being the exception. So they've done well against the Giants. The Padres, always low scoring games, were pitching is at a premium, but the Pirates certainly put themselves in a position to stay in those games. I'm kind of looking to forward to Liriano facing the Padres in San Diego. He had one of his best games ever. against the Padres at Petco Field in 2013. So, I mean, against San Diego, you know, you have to look forward to a couple 2-1, 3-2 games, and the Pirates certainly are well armed to do that. And I should inject, the reason the bullpen has been so effective, the starters have regularly been giving him 7 innings. So you don't have to empty your bullpen every other day, and everybody's fresh, and that's like a perfect storm in your pitching staff.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That is as big as it gets. You got to have those guys eat up the innings and continue to produce, which they have done awfully well. Well, Tom, another good week at Pirates baseball, and always fun to talk a little ball with you. We'll look forward to doing it again next week.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thanks.
You bet. Tom Singer, MLB.com Extras, the Pittsburgh Pirates edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.